Good morning. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 460. 460. We'll sing hymn number 37. Number 37.
Consider all. chapter 3. Finish up Mark chapter 3 this morning, God willing. I'll read verse 31 through 35. And there came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Great and blessed God in heaven, the God who inhabits eternity, declares the end from the beginning, and things that haven't been done as if they've already been. And Lord, we thank you that you're great enough, glorious enough, powerful enough to measure the waters of this world just in the hollow of your hand. All these nations with all their power, might, and majesty that they think they have, Lord, you say they're just a drop in the bucket, that they're just like a small dust on a balance. So when we consider this world and all that's in it, oh Lord, we're so thankful that you called us out of it, that you separated us unto yourself, separated unto the gospel of the grace of God, separated us to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the behalf of poor sinners like ourselves. Lord, we thank you, bless you, praise you. And Lord, we ask for your presence in the service today. Oh, how we need you in this service. Lord, we can go through the songs. We can go through an outline. We can pray. But Lord, all those things can be done without you. But we can't worship without you. We can't hear the word of God with power without you. We can't preach the word of God with power without you. So, Lord, here we are in great need of you and desire you to be in our midst. And, Father, for those that are my preacher brethren in the churches that are meeting together, God bless them. Lord, use them mightily to your glory. And for those that are not with us, we ask for your great traveling mercies upon them. Keep your dear people. And Lord Jesus, have mercy. Oh God, have mercy upon our lost loved ones. And do it for Christ's sake. Save your sheep. Send the gospel to the heart and the understanding. We ask these things in our blessed Savior's name. Amen and amen. Oh, let me mention this. No service tonight. No service tonight.
If you show up, there won't be nobody here.
Hymn number 454. On that fifth verse, that first line, let's say, To me, he's given a new heart.
We are redeemed, the price is
we'll stand together as we sing the hymn of the day in the bulletin.
All right, let's look here at our text today, verses 31 through 45. And our Lord said he had a family. He had a family. He said in verse 35, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Are you in his family? Are you in Christ's family? That's a good question, ain't it? You know, in verse 21, remember his kinsmen, his brothers came to him, and his kinsfolk come to him and said he's beside himself. You know, he was, all the things that he was doing and all the miracles that he was saying and the things that he was teaching, they thought he's lost his mind. He's lost his mind. And then the devil, you know, the Pharisees and the scribes come along and said he has a devil, that he cast out the devil by the devil. And he said, "A house divided against itself cannot possibly stand. Satan, if he cast out Satan, then he don't even have a kingdom. His kingdom's come to an end." And then he warned about blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And how do you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost? You attribute the work of God and the work of the Spirit of God to the devil. They said, you know, when our Lord Jesus Christ done his work, they said, "He hath done this by an unclean spirit," attributing to God and the Holy Spirit things that's not real, things say it's false, saying it's of the devil. And now when you go across that line, there ain't no coming back. But I say, and I always say this, a believer cannot do that. It'd be impossible for a believer to do that. It'd be impossible for a child of God to blaspheme against God, against the Holy Spirit. Be impossible to him. And then look what it said, verse 31 here. Let's go down through here and look at these verses together. "And there came then his brethren and his mother." His brethren and his mother. You know, he had lots of brothers. He had lots of brethren. And I tell you, if you want to see them and their names, just turn over to Luke chapter 6 and verse 3. Just turn over one page. If you got a Bible like mine, turn it over one page, Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. It tells these brothers' names. And they talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said here, Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? So that's four brothers he's got that was born of Mary and Joseph. Christ was not born of Joseph. Christ was born of God. He was son of God, born of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. But Mary and Joseph had children after Christ. And they had four sons. And then he's talked about his sisters. Are they here with us? And they're here with us. So I don't know how many sisters he had, but they just mentioned the brothers. That's four brothers. And his brethren. I don't know if all four of them was there or not. But his mother, Mary. And there's certain groups that make much out of Mary. But Mary is just exactly like us. She needed a Savior. She was as wicked and as lost as anybody ever was. And the only thing that made a difference in her and any other woman was God chose her to carry the seed of God in her womb, the Son of God in her womb. She's not to be worshipped. She needed a Savior. She needed the blood applied. She needed regeneration. She needed everything that we need to be born again and to spend eternity with God Almighty, spend eternity with Christ. And she came, they came, and they stood without. Evidently, there's a big crowd there. Maybe he's still in the same house. Maybe it's the same time. And they decided, you know, well, we can't get to him. So what they said, they're standing without. They can't even get in the building. They can't get to where he's at. Got a big crowd. You'd think his mother would have been able to say, listen, I want to get in here and see my son. But that's not what happens. And they stand without, and there's a big crowd there, so they told somebody standing outside, go tell my son, go tell Jesus that his mother and his brothers outside here, and they want him to come out. They call him, come out here. And they calling him. And they calling him out. Now, why in the world would they do that? You know our Lord loved his mother. You know he cared for his brothers. But I don't think they understand what he was doing. I don't think they understand what he was doing. It said in John 7 and verse 5 neither did his brethren believe on him. And I think that they didn't understand what he was doing, the great work that he was doing. And what they was doing was trying to get him, since he stayed so busy, went day and night healing people, preaching the gospel, and working day and night. I mean, big crowds constantly around him. It said there in one place that he didn't even have room enough or time enough to have a meal because he stayed so busy. And maybe they come and said, well, son, you need to spare yourself. You need to rest a little bit. You need to take better care of your body. You need to take better care of yourself. Maybe that's what they was going to do. But oh my. And there was a great multitude there, so it started down through there. Everybody gathered around there. Somebody said, his mother and brother's outside. They want to hear him. They want to bring him out. It went right down till it got to him himself. I mean, there's a multitude, so somebody has to carry that thing person to person to person to get to him. And finally the word got to him, Lord, your mother and your brother standing outside, and they want you to come out. They're calling you. They're calling you. Oh my. And our Lord, you know what he says? He don't get up and run to his mother. He don't get up and run to his brothers. He didn't get up and act like, well, listen, I'm making a mess out of things. And you know he loved his mother. You know that. You know he did. And oh my. And look what he says. And the multitude said about him, He's sitting right in the middle of a whole great big bunch of people. I mean, there's a great multitude about him. And they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brother without seek for thee. They want you. They're looking for you. They want to talk to you. And he answered them, all that multitude around him. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother? Who is my mother? And who is my brothers? Who is my brethren? And he looked around. He was watching everybody, and he looked around. Everybody's around him. Sees this great crowd around him. I'm looking at you all. I can go over this congregation. I can look at you. And he says, Who is my mother? Mary's his mother by birth, seed of the woman. But he said, Who is my mother? He has four brothers standing out there maybe. And he said, Who is my brother? And oh my. And he looked round about on everybody sitting around him and said, Behold, talking about them. And you see there, my mother and my brethren, in an exclamation point. I want you to understand, behold, you want to see my mothers? Right there they are. You want to see my brethren? Here they are. Exclamation point. Nothing else to be said. Oh my. You know, twice Mary involved herself in the Lord's life, and he never acknowledged her either time. Once when he turned the water into wine, she said, you know, he come to her and said, she said something to him, and he said, Woman, called her woman, didn't call her mother, Woman, my time's not yet. And then I want you to look with me over in chapter 2 of Luke. Let me show you another time something happened about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he treated his mama. And you know, it's what he says. He said, look here in Luke with me, chapter 2 and verse 43. You know, it was always our Lord's, his family always went up to Jerusalem. People came all from all over the world to go to Jerusalem at the time of the Passover and the day of Pentecost. And he was 12 years old, and they all went up to Jerusalem. It said in verse 42, after the custom of the feast. That's about all folks do, is they do it after custom. Do it after custom. And when they had fulfilled the days, you know, the days of unleavened bread, they returned. And as they returned, the child Jesus, 12 years old now, tarried behind, waited, stayed behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew nothing of it. They didn't know what he was doing. Most folks don't know what the Lord's doing. And you'll never know what the Lord's doing if he don't make you know. He's got to make you know. And listen, but they supposing him to have been in their company. How many people today suppose the Lord Jesus Christ is in their company? How many people suppose that Christ is with us today? They're not going to talk about how powerful he is, how glorious he is, how sovereign he is, what a blessed power he's got, and what a glorious Savior he is. They're not going to do that. And they went a day's journey, and a day's journey. And say your life is a day. And that's what David said. He said, make me to know my days. Make me to know mine end. My life is a hand's breadth. It's a vapor. And they went a day's journey. And there's going to be a lot of people that will go through the days of their life. And a day, that's about all it amounts to when it's said and done. A day. A day. And he wasn't there. Wasn't there. And they go and said, well, listen, let's go we'll see our kin folks. Let's see our brothers. Let's see our sisters. Let's go visit them that we know. See if he's around them with them. Because he's surely not with us. When you find out Christ's not with you, if you ever find that out, you know what happened to you? You'll start seeking him. And they went looking for him. And I tell you what, if you find out he's not with you, and it'll shake you up, and what you do is you'll start looking for him, and you, and listen, when you search for me with all your heart, our Lord said, you're going to find me. You're going to find me. And oh my, they went about their kinsfolks and their acquaintance. Kinsfolks and acquaintance. You know, that's what... And you know what Paul said when he said when God saved him? He said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. Most folks, when God starts dealing with them, they run back to mom or daddy or somebody that's in their family that's got religion, and they start saying, well, you know, this preacher said this, and preacher talked about election, God's sovereignty, talked about God saving his elect, God saving his sheep, crying, dying for his sheep, substitutionary death just for his people. Say, what do you think about that? Oh, honey, don't you dare believe that. You know better than that. But they're looking. And look what it said in verse 45. And when they found him not. Oh, boy, when you can't find him. They didn't find him. Oh, my. Well, I better go back. I better go looking for him. I missed him somewhere in my life. And oh my, they turned back again to Jerusalem. And look what it says, seeking him. And so they went a day, and it takes them a whole day to get back. So they're on the third day now. Day going, a day coming. They're on the third day. Now watch what happens. They found him. You look for him, you'll find him. Where'd they find him at? In the temple. He's God's tabernacle. That's where God meets men in Christ. And look what it said. Now, he's just 12 years old now. And he's sitting in the midst of the doctors, the smartest people in Israel at the time, some of the smartest people maybe probably in the world, both hearing them, listen to what they've got to say, and asking them questions. And all that heard him, listen to this now, were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And verse 48, and when they saw him, his mother and daddy saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why have you thus dealt with us? Why did you treat us like this? We have been sorrowing for you and sought you with a sorrow. We're scared. We're worrying about you. And he said unto them, Mom, I'm sorry. Mom, I'm sorry. I worried you. Oh, I'm just feel so bad about worrying you. I feel so bad about hurting your feelings. No, what did he say? How is it that you sought me? Don't you understand that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood, didn't understand a thing in the world he was talking about. Huh? Didn't understand it. And I tell you what, that's how he treated, and his mother, that's what he said. Don't you know? He never said, Mom, I'm sorry for worrying you. I didn't cry. He's 12 years old. I got to be about my Father's business. You all go on with your life. You go on back to Bethlehem. Go on and you do what you got. I got to be about my Father's business. And our Lord Jesus said here in verse 34, he said, I'm going to tell you who my real family is. And he's going to tell you how you recognize them. He is talking to them that sit round about him at home. And here's the first thing I want us to understand, that his family is not according to blood. Not according to blood. Our family, really, our family is not according to blood. Oh, no, our real family, I mean, we have blood kin. We have lots of kinfolk. I got lots of kinfolks. I got a sister and a brother and a half brother and a half sister, and I've got a couple of stand brothers, you know, and I've got lots of kinfolks, lots and lots of cousins. But my relationship with them is nothing compared to my relationship with God's people. Nothing. And that's what our Lord said. We to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even them which believe on his name, which were born not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, not of blood. But what are they born of then? God. God. And I tell you, he said, man, what he said, my mother, here's my mother, and here's my brothers. And here's my, and it, he said in verse 35, the same is my brother, whosoever shall, and this is how you recognize them, whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Oh, my. And let me tell you something. When we get to heaven, everybody talks about, I'll see mama and I'll see daddy, and, you know, we'll sit down and have these wonderful conversations and everything will be hunky-dory. In heaven, there won't be no families. There won't be no families in heaven. There won't be none in heaven. I've got a lot of believers, a lot of kin folks. It's already gone. Oh, a lot of people that I love, gone. But when I get there, I tell you what, I don't care if I, you know, it's not, I'm not going to be there and be with my mother-in-law and my father-in-law and Mary. I'm not going to be with them people. We're all going to be one family. You know what it's called? The family of God. That's what our Lord said. You know, in heaven, they don't marry or give it in marriage. He said, in heaven, there's no marriage. And who in the world cares? Oh, people make some of the dumbest statements in the world. But when we all get there, you know, we'll know Abraham, we'll know Isaac, we'll know Jacob, and we'll know one another as God knows us now. But it won't have any flesh to do with it. And I understand. You know, I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he wanted to start talking about some experiences he had. And I started talking about God. I said, you know, God, you know, when we look out here and you see all this, God inhabits eternity as far as you can understand, and you can't get it. God inhabits eternity. And we're going to inhabit eternity with him. And I said, he measures the waters in the hollow of his hand. He said, I never heard anybody talk like that. Never heard anybody describe it that way. You know why? You don't hear, nobody knows God. And I tell you what, that's why he says, my family, my family. My family is not my mother standing out there. They're not my brothers out there. It's the people that's doing what my Father wills to be done. That's the people that's my children. Oh, my. And how do we know things? How will we know things in heaven? Well, we all have something in common here. And whosoever shall do the will of my Father, the will of God which is in heaven, the same is my mother, my brothers, and my sisters. Now it says, for whosoever shall do the will of God. Let's talk about God. God is a person. God is a person. He's eternal. He's infinite. He's independent. He's sovereign. He's immutable. He's just. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He's merciful. He's gracious, and God is love. And he's a person. He is a person. And all persons have a will. God has a will. You and I have a will. You and I have a will. And you know what? I'd love to have happen to me. I'd love for my will to happen for my will. If I could have my will, everybody would love me. I mean love me. Really, really love me. And not only that, would they not only love me, but they'd even like me. Everybody would. Everybody would. But I don't have the ability to do that. I don't have that ability. I've got the will, but I don't have the ability to carry it out. Huh? And I don't have the ability to have it to happen. And the difference, and you know, everybody, every one of us here has a will. And we oftentimes will to do things. And we'll go here, we'll go yonder, and we'll make up, you know, but the difference between God's will and everybody else's will, he's got the power to carry out His will, to make sure His will's done, to make sure His will come to pass. You know what it's called? God being God, God being sovereign, God being all-powerful. Huh? He has a will. Oh, yes, He has a will. And He has the ability to carry out that will. He's got the power to make it come to pass. Our God is in the heavens. And you know what He does? As He pleases. God is in the heavens, in the earth, and He does according to His will in the armies of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and nobody can hinder Him from doing His will. He does His pleasure in the heavens and the earth and in the deep places of the sea. He does according to His will. Oh my. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. You know, Proverbs 19:21 says this: there's many devices in a man's heart. Many devices. And we talk about things we're going to do, and we have all these devices. I'm going to do this, and you know, and I'm going to go here, and I want this done, that done, all this stuff done. We have all kinds of devices going on in our heart. But you know what it says? The counsel of your devices, He said, don't mount to nothing. He says, the counsel of God, let every man devise what he wants to do. But the counsel of God, that's what's going to stand. Ain't you grateful that that's the way it is? Oh, my. Men, oh, listen. God decreed. You know, people talk about God decrees, His decrees. And I've said this before. There's only one decree. God decreed one time. Decreed one time. And when He made that decree, everything that happens, from the time He said, let there be, until He says, there's time no more, that's what's going to be carried out. That one decree. That one decree. He declared what the Scripture said. He declared the end from the beginning. So that means that whatever happens between those two places has to happen just exactly what God says is going to happen. If that's not so, who's got the power? You know, Satan cannot do except what Christ and God Almighty allows him to do. God's got to give him permission to do what he wants. If he wants to get you to you, God's got to give him permission to come to you. That's what Job said to Job. He said, I'll give you permission, but I tell you what, you can't go on this far. And God will only let him go so far. He may let him go far enough to make you even think, well, God don't even exist. And then he'll lift. Make him back up. And you'll say, oh, God, thank you. Listen, he may turn him loose on you for just a season. That's what he told old Simon Peter. Said he sought to sift you as wheat. But you know what? It can't happen. Oh, my. He is absolutely sovereign. He's free. He is absolutely free and independent. Man brags about his free will, but they won't talk about God's freedom. Man wants to choose what he wants to go and where he wants to go, but what about God's will? What he wills to do and who he wills to do it for? Oh, my. And let me tell you something. Men does what's in their heart to do. You know that? And the cross is a perfect illustration of that. Now, here's a screaming, howling mob. They started here in Mark chapter 2. They said they were so mad. They've gotten mad. And then they devised a way to take Christ. And they purposed and willed in their heart. They hated him so much that we're going to kill this man. We're going to apprehend him. And we're going to mistreat him. And we're going to crucify him. And we're going to be done with him. And they done exactly everything that was in their heart to do. They was wicked-hearted, evil-hearted. They hated God. They hated Christ. They hated grace. They hated what Christ taught. And they was doing everything they would do willingly. When they, Pilate come out and said, listen, I find no fault in this man. Crucify him. You brought him out twice. No fault. Brought him out the third time. And the scripture says, willing to content the people. He willingly done what he did. And you know what? They was doing exactly what God determined before to be done. And they done exactly what they wanted to do. Figure that one out. This carrying out God's will. He said that. He said the anger of man, the wrath of man is going to praise him. And what they done exactly what they wanted to do. And said, oh, his blood be on us and our children. But they was carrying out God's will to save his elect people and to bring glory to himself in the salvation of his elect for Christ's sake. You see, man does what he wills to do. And you know, bless his name. And people say, I wouldn't have done that if I'd have been there. Oh, listen, you don't know your heart then. You don't know your heart. If I'd have been there, I'd have been right out there in that mob crying, crucify, crucify. Because that's what breaks our heart. We know how sinful we are. That it took God Almighty, by his determinate counsel, to deliver his blessed son up. And then he turned around and accused them and charged them with you with wicked hands have taken and crucified the just one. Oh, I'd have been there. I'd have been there. I was there. I was there. Where was I at? I was in my sin. I was in my rebellion. I was in my enmity. But I was also there in Christ. I was also there in his death. I was also there in his sufferings. I was also there when the justice of God fell on him. I was there when the wrath of God fell on him. I was there with him when he died. I was there with him when he was buried. I was there with him when God rose him again. And I'm there with him now seated in the heavenlies. Huh? He says, that's my family. That's my family. Oh, my. Our Lord says those who are his family are those who do the will of God. Oh, my. You remember when our Lord Jesus went to talk to the woman at the well. And his disciples, he went over there and he was dealing with the woman at the well. And his disciples went into town to buy some food and bring some food back out there. And so they're coming to bring food. And there they see him talking to this woman, this Samaritan woman. And that really confused these fellows. Jews don't have nothing to do with Samaritans. And he said, Lord, we got some food here for you. And you know what our Lord said to him? He said, my meat. My food, not what you're eating, my food is to do the will of him that sent me. And you know what else he said? To finish the work he sent me to do. He said, I've got to finish that work. Got to do it. Oh, my. And I tell you what, and you know what his last words was? He said, I got to, my meat's to do the will of him that sent me and finish the work he gave me to do. You know what the last words he said on the cross? It's finished. It's finished. I come to do his work. Well, did you do it? It's finished. Look with me over here in John chapter 6. Look in John chapter 6 with me. I want you to see some things over here. And, you know, our Lord is so glorious. Oh, so glorious. John 6:38. Look with me now. Now, everybody knows these verses, you know. You know, all the Father gives me shall come to me, and I'll no wise cast him out. Look what he said here in verse 38. He said, I came down from heaven. I came down from heaven. That's where I lived. That's where I dwelt from. That's where I came from. Not to do mine own will. I didn't come here to do my will. But listen to this. The will of him that sent me. That's what I come to do. God's will, my Father's will. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all which he hath given me, this is his will, I should lose nothing, but I'm going to raise it up again at the last day. And here's another thing about the will of God. And this is the will that we do. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son. How do you see him? By faith. See him in the Word. See him in the gospel. And oh my. And watch what he says. Everyone which sees the Son and believes on him. This is God's will. To see the Son, believe on him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Oh my. And you know what he said his will was? And he said that I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Did he do it? Oh, he describes the true family of God. But there's also a family that's not his God. There's some people who's not everyone makes a claim to being his father. Look over in Matthew 7. There's lots of folks who make a claim to be in God's family, but they're not. It's not everyone who makes the claim that's in the family of God. Only those who do the will of the Father. Now look what he said here in verse 21. That's our Master speaking now. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. I mean, they repeat it twice. Lord, Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now listen to this. But here's the difference in it. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And listen, many, many will say to me in that day. They repeat it again, Lord, Lord. We've preached in your name. We've preached in your name. And in your name, we've even cast out devils. And in your name, everything they done in Jesus' name, have cast out and done many wonderful works. Boy, they was really felt good about themselves, felt good about their profession, felt good about their experience, felt good about everything they done. And I tell you, recently a man told me, he said, I'm trying my best to be a good person. I'm really, really giving it everything I got to be a good person. And I told him one time, a fellow told me, he said, I get so tired of trying to be good. You try to be good without Christ, and you're fighting a losing battle. Ain't that right? Look what else he says now. Then will I profess unto them. This is what I'm going to say about you. I'm going to say this about you, that I never knew you. Never knew you. He knew who they was. He knew what they did. But he said, I never knew you like I knew. I know my sheep and I'm known of them. There's a difference there, you see. For whom he foreknew, but he did not. He said, I never knew you. And listen to this. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How could they work iniquity doing all these things in Jesus' name? It's easy if you know how desperately wicked man is. It's easy. Easy, easy, easy. Oh, it's not everyone that makes the claim. But our Lord said over there a minute ago, he said, let's look at it. Let me show you something again. I tell you, I'm having you all over the place, but that, you know, this is a good time to John chapter 6 and verse 28. John 6:28. I should have just told you to stay there when you're there. I meant to do that, but I get beside myself. Oh, look what our Lord said now. In verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What a question. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Our Lord answered, said unto them, listen to this now. This is the work of God. This is the work that God does. And this is it right here, that you believe on him whom God has sent. God works that in you. Believe on him whom he has sent. Let me ask you, do you believe that the Father sent him? Do you believe that God sent him into this world? Huh? Do you believe that he did exactly what the Father sent him to do? Huh? Do you believe he said, when he said it's finished, that he completed the work of the Father, the work that the Father sent him to do? Huh? Do you believe he was sent to be a Savior and the only Savior of sinners? Do you believe he now sits as a Savior and the only Savior in this world at the right hand of God? Do you believe God sent him and he was a successful Savior? Do you believe that God sent him as the sovereign Savior? Are you content? Let me ask you, this is the work of God. Are you content to be saved by him and him alone? Are you content to let your soul and give your soul and rest your soul in him and who he is and what he did for all time while you're here on this earth and for all eternity? Are you ready to do that? Content to do that? He said, this is the work of God. Oh, but you rest your eternal soul on him? Oh, my. And let me give you one, and I'm going to wind this thing up. Let me give you another. Acts chapter 16. We need to look at this. No, two things. I got two things I want you to see. But Acts chapter 16, everybody knows about the Philippian jailer. I'm sure you do. Oh, my. Acts 16. Look what it says in verse 30. Acts 16, 30. This is that Philippian jailer now. And he's talking to Paul and Silas. And he said, Sirs, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? Is there a more critical question that you could ask? If there is, I don't know what it would be. What must I do to be saved? What must I do? Huh? What must I do? Well, Paul didn't say, well, you need to come to an altar. He didn't say you need to quit your sinning. He didn't say, you know, you need to start attending church faithfully. He didn't say you need to change the way you dress. He didn't say you need to quit your bad habits and take up some new habits. If you want to know what it is, how a person is saved, Paul lays it all on the line. Believe. Not work, believe. Not try, believe. Believe. And listen to this. On the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, his precious, precious person. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus, who has come to put away our sin. Christ, the anointed one, God sent into this world. Believe in his person, his name, his work. And look what he says. And thou shalt be saved. You can't complicate that. It'd be impossible to complicate that. And I told you, I said two. I got three. Let me give you another one here right quick. I'm sorry if I'm taking too long, but John 7:14, I want you to see this. And then we're going to wind up with one other thing. John 7. Look what he said in verse 14. This astonished people. John 7, verse 14. Now about midst of the feast, Jesus went up in the temple, and the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters?" I mean learning and knowing the scriptures and things like that, having never learned. Listen to what our Lord said. "My doctrine is not mine." But here he goes again. "That he which sent me." Oh my. "If any man will do his will." There we are. In the family of God that does his will. He'll know of the doctrine. If you've done the Father's will, you'll know his doctrine. You'll know the doctrine that Christ taught. The doctrine of the scriptures. You'll know who Christ is and what he taught. The doctrine of Christ. And you'll know whether it's of God or whether I'm talking just about myself. I'm talking about the doctrine. And oh my, he said this. If a man wants to talk about himself and his accomplishments and what he's done and all the things that he's done in this world, he's seeking his own glory. But oh, if you seek the glory of God Almighty that sent Christ, the same is true, and there's no unrighteousness in that man. Huh? Oh, my. And there's one commandment I believe every one of us in this building's kept. 1 John 3, and I'm done. 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Oh, man. I haven't kept the Ten Commandments. People say, "Boy, you got to keep the Ten." Listen, I haven't done it. I ain't even come close. I broke all of them, but I ain't kept any of them. But look what he said here in verse 23. "And this is his commandment." I've kept this commandment. "That you should believe, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ." I believe on his name, don't you? I've kept that commandment. That's one commandment I've kept. And here's another commandment. "And love one another as he gave us commandment." Oh, my. I've kept this commandment. I believe on his Son. God commanded us to. I do. I've kept that commandment. Have you? Our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the things about Christ. And, oh Lord, we believe we're in your family. We believe that God sent you, that you came. We know your doctrine. And it's in our hearts. Father, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, Lord, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth, even as it's done in heaven. And, oh, God, keep us in your will. Keep us for Christ's sake. We ask these things in his blessed name. Amen. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing his worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. I'll see you Wednesday, God willing. Good night and God, or good afternoon. God bless you. Just after 11 o'clock. Oh.